Sir, Mr.
आइडिया मांग
Gandhi,
रहा
how do
हूँ।
you, sir, do you
He's
have
on a
any
call,
problem?
he's on a call।
Okay.
बता दिया। हाँ मैंने बता दिया उसको जो भी है वो। या सॉरी या
Sir, wanted to ask, do you have any presentation that you'll share or any prepared remarks or
नो फ्रेंकली आई एम नॉट प्रिपेयर्ड एनी प्रेजेंटेशन। आई थिंक वी
Okay.
कैन टेक द बेस एज दी लास्ट Q3 यू नो Q1 प्रेजेंटेशन एंड वी कैन मूव। आई एंटिसिपेटेड मोर ऑफ अ क्वेश्चन आंसर काइंड ऑफ सेशन रादर देन अ फॉर्मल प्रेजेंटेशन।
No,
ओके
sir,
दैट्स
that's how we are conducting. Everyone's
या
doing just that. So everyone, we are conducting it as a Q&A format. Satya was just asking in case then I would share screen. So he
या
just wanted to know. So we are doing it as a Q&A format.
ओके
That's
बट
correct.
देन
No, I think somebody
दैट
from your side check with me. I told Yeah,
them
Nishat
that
would have checked. Nishat would have
it
checked.
will be the
She's on
last
leave
presentation which
today.
we have
No,
circulated.
she's on emergency leave, so she would have
या
checked, Satya.
So, but
Okay.
just
Yeah.
very quickly checking you, I'll make the introduction, but you'll have some prepared maybe introduction of the company and what it is doing, and then we take the Q&A, maybe
No
5-10
problems.
minutes.
No, that we can do. No problems.
Okay.
Yeah, it will not be kind of formal representation, but I'll definitely explain, you know, what is the all about the company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we let people in?
Yeah. So basically, sir, opening remarks, and then we move on to Q&A.
Yeah. We have everyone in. Yes.
Come, Satya.
Yes, thank you everyone for joining in. We have Godavari Power and Ispat with us. It's the flagship company of Hira Group of Companies, which is into multiple businesses, including mining, cement, real estate, technology, and obviously steel. Godavari Power and Ispat is an integrated player in the long value chain. So you're looking at iron ore mining, pellets, sponge iron, round billets, ferrous, everything. We have with us Mr. Dinesh Gandhi, who is the CFO at Godavari Power and Ispat. He has almost 3 decades of experience in the finance, account, financial planning, and budgeting roles. Without further ado, sir, over to you to discuss the performance of the company and maybe more educational background for the participants also on what the company's journey has been. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Satyadeep. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dinesh Gandhi. I'm representing Godavari Power and Ispat Limited. Now, I'm sure most of you must be aware about the Godavari Power and Ispat Limited, but without taking much of your time, I'll just give you a brief. Godavari Power and Ispat Limited is a part of Hira Group of Companies in Raipur. The group is mainly engaged into iron and steel-related business besides some proprietary, you know, kind of real estate in the group, but mainly into the metals business, right from mining to, you know, finished steel. Finished steel capacities are substantially lower as compared to what we do in mining and pelletization. And along with that, we have ferrous business also, from where the group had started way back in 1990s, sometime 1986, 87. So the group started initially with ferroalloys business, you know, small capacity, but at some point of time in 94, 95, it became one of the largest player of silico manganese manufacturers in central India. And in those days, it was Chhattisgarh was part of the MP, and ferroalloys business suffered in 1996 because of the shortage of power in MP. And as a part of, you know, in between, after that, the group had diversified into the steel making by buying steel billets from Bhilai Steel Plant and setting up rolling mills, selling wire rods in the market. That time, that business was very lucrative. And subsequently, in 2000, the promoters decided to set up a backward integration plant for making steel billets through the sponge iron route, assuming that the iron ore and coal will be available at competitive price in that area. And of course, the year 2000 was like 2000, we have seen the iron and steel industry recently in say 2015 to 2017 period, where nobody was touching the industry. So that time in 2001, the Godavari was formed, and we initially commissioned the sponge iron facilities with captive billet and power by 2003. And after that, we expanded the capacity of making steel to 0.5 million ton from sponge iron, and gradually increase the power generation capacities and the finished steel capacity. But by 2007, we realized that the way the raw material costs are increasing in India and given globally, it will be better that, to have the hold on the resources first, rather than expanding the capacity on the steel side. So we decided to set up an iron ore pelletization facility using the iron ore fines, procured from the NMDC and other open sources. And simultaneously, at that time, we were allocated 2 iron ore mines by the Government of India. And we were in the process of getting the regulatory approvals. And finally, we started one mine producing in 2010, along with the pelletization plant. That time, I'll tell you, the iron ore prices in domestic market was ruling at about 9,000 rupees a ton, and iron ore fines was selling at about 1,500 rupees a ton. The conversion arbitrage during that period was substantially higher for making pellet, and that is the reason we decided to set up one pellet plant in Chhattisgarh and another one in Odisha. And subsequently, we expanded the capacity of pellet plant in Chhattisgarh by 2013. And we became a sizable player in merchant, pellet in domestic market by 2013-14. And by the time we had about 2.1 million ton of pelletization capacity in Chhattisgarh and 0.6 million ton in Odisha. And pellet is one, product which has survived Godavari power and has contributed to the highest amount of profitability in the down phase as well as in the up cycle like we have seen in last 3 years. Currently, we have, about 3 million ton of, pelletization capacity, 3.2 million ton, including 0.8 million ton pellet plant in Odisha. Our finished steel capacity continues to remain at 0.5 million ton from making sponge iron to the steel billet and wire rod, about 0.4 million ton. Along with that, we have some ferroalloys capacities within our group, which and those group companies are now part of GPIL because we have acquired the stake in those companies in recent past and integrated with, they became the subsidiary of GPIL. So we have about close to about 80,000 tons of ferroalloys capacity currently, 3.2 million ton of pelletization and 0.5 million ton from sponge iron to finished steel, with about 100 megawatt of captive power through waste heat recovery, coal-based power and biomass. These are the mix. Along with that, we have recently commissioned 70 megawatt of solar power, solar PV, and we are in process of commissioning another about 85 megawatt going forward by March 2023. So that is, all this power is to meet the captive requirement for steel facilities. So we'll be having about 155 megawatt of solar power, which will, reduce the carbon intensity in the, company. And in between, in 2013, we had set up one solar thermal power plant. We were first in India to set up thermal power project of 50 megawatt. But recently in March, we have divested our 100% stake in that company. And we are utilizing the same cash flow, about 650 crore, which we got from divestment of solar business, putting the same money into the solar, setting up 155 megawatt capacity, which will help us improve our operating margins as well as give us, the carbon neutrality benefit as well for making the current steel. Our turnover in March 2022 was close to about 5,000 crores and EBITDA was 2,000 crore. Of course, last year was an extraordinary period when we sold pellet at an average price of about 12,500 rupees a ton. It went as high as about 18,000 rupees a ton and low of about 8,000 to 9,000 rupees a ton. The pellet business continues to support the profitability of the company. Current prices are are down after the imposition of export duty on pellet. It has come down from 11,000 rupees to about 8,500 rupees a ton. And finished steel prices have not gone down to that extent because, whatever prices in the steel has gone down is in the flat products. Long product, the price fall is about, 8 to 10%, which has taken place in the last 1 month. We believe that the demand for steel is going to increase after the monsoon is over sometime from October, and hopefully prices are here to sustain, looking at the fuel cost which is there in the in the global markets. Because of the high fuel cost, we think that the bottom of the prices are there at the current level, like sponge iron at about 32,000 rupees a ton and finished steel at about close to 50,000 rupees a ton. So over to you. I would rather more be comfortable with the question answer. So I just given you a brief background about the company, and I would be happy to take the questions.
Thank you so much, sir. Very brief and very strong introduction. If anybody has any questions, you can type in the questions in the chat box or raise your hand. I will wait for a minute or so for the question queue to pile up. In the meantime, sir, a few questions on what's happening in the market, and we'll come to Godavari Power also on the balance sheet, which you didn't discuss on the deleveraging and promoter pledges and all. But in the market right now, on the pellet front, given the duties that have been enacted, what are you doing? I think you were selling pellet in the export market. I'm guessing you're diverting it to more domestic customers. Who are the domestic
100% pellet is being sold in the domestic market now. Export is ruled out because export is uneconomical now. We are able to sell. There are two things in the pellet. One is the normal 62 grade, 62, 62 and a half, 63 grade pellet and 65 grade pellet. We are selling, higher grade pellet to the companies like Tata Steel. We have sold it to SR also. A few consignments. We have sold it to JSPL also, a few consignment. So, that is the side of the market which continues because and 65 Fe pellet with low alumina, reduces the, coal consumption in steel making. That is the reason, there is a demand, and the price is also higher by about 1,000 rupees a ton for the low alumina pellet. Besides that, we have a lot of sponge iron manufacturers in and around our plant. So almost, 80-85% of the production, saleable production is consumed in the Chhattisgarh market. The small manufacturers, they do not buy now the iron ore from NMDC or the Odisha market. They prefer pellet because they can buy the raw material in a smaller quantities. We can supply them 50-100 tons every day depending upon their requirement based on their plant size. So the requirement of the, working capital is less. So that is how, we market our product within the domestic market. And therefore, there is a pressure on the pricing.
Which is definite, there is more supply in the domestic market, which is leading to some oversupply pressure on price. But these customers that you're selling to, these are all opportunistic short-term customers. When the, let's say, export duty is lifted, you'll again start exporting to international market.
Given the chance, we would like to export about 600,000 tons annually in order to balance the market. If you see the current market conditions within the area in which we operate, close to about 500,000-600,000 tons of annual excess production is there. And to that extent, that if that production is sold in the domestic market, that brings the pressure on the pricing. So our aim would always be, export about 600,000 tons of production, like out of about, 2.4 million ton of our operating capacity, 700,000, 800,000 tons we consume captively, another 600,000 tons in the export, and balance can be easily sold in the domestic market. Currently also we are producing it at 100% capacity and selling in the domestic market, but definitely that has some element of pressure on the pricing.
Yes, sir. On the, I think the end users have always complained that why do we have zero duty on pellets and this duty, which is basically incentivizing people to be a converter of iron ore into pellet. Now that we have a duty on pellet, you think that if the duty on steel is lifted and potential in iron ore, the duty on pellet would also be lifted?
Frankly, I think everybody has made its case before the Government of India, the Ministry of Steel and Ministry of Mines. Now, let's see what the decision is taken by the government. The earlier, the export duty was there on the high grade and the lump ore. Okay, but what you are doing in pelletization is you are utilizing the iron ore fines, which is lying in abundant in India, which was sold at a throwaway price before the pellet industry came into the market. The iron ore was sold at a throwaway price from the domestic miners, and even the companies who were buying, like, you know, us, we were buying lump ore 1030, 1040 from the NMDC, used to make the size door and sell the fines at a throwaway price. So what pellet industry is doing, nothing but value adding on the iron ore fines, which fine do not use in the domestic market otherwise. So, or else you'll have to export the iron ore fines. And this industry is then is generating a lot of employment as well. If you are doing, you know, iron ore fines, which is sold at about 4,000, 5,000 rupees a ton, and if you are exporting the same product at 10,000 to 12,000 rupees a ton in the global market, your value addition is 200%. And the government is getting the revenue on that, employment opportunities are generated through that. And otherwise, if you see the overall dynamics in the industry, today we have excess production in India, iron ore pellet, as well as the lump ore put together. So, you know, the product has to find some market, or else the value addition facility will have to be set up to convert the same into the steel. And steel also, we have an surplus steel making capacity in India. Unless you export that steel, you know, out of India, the domestic market will not get balanced.
See, you're basically suggesting that because there's also some questions around that if a duty on steel is lifted, duty on iron ore, leaving pellet aside for a second, but even iron ore would also be lifted, right? There's no argument for having a duty on iron ore and maybe removing duty on steel.
Yeah.
But because that brings me to the question on sponge iron players. If the duty on iron ore is lifted, the iron ore prices go up, and I think they're already battling with high thermal coal prices. So sponge iron producers like yourself and other independent sponge iron producers, you mentioned the cost base 32,000 rupees and stuff. Whereas, given the thermal coal prices where they are, is there an opportunity to replace South African thermal coal with any other coal right now?
No.
It's because of the ash content.
Because of the ash content and then the plant operating efficiencies. We used to operate our plant almost for about 10 years on the Coal India linkages coal as well as e-auction part of it. By washing, you are already 30-40% cost was going up. And after that, the plant efficiency was hardly about 60-65% because your feed rate goes down. So imported coal is the only solution for, you know, DRI manufacturer, you know, if you want to, you know, operate the plant at an 100% efficiency.
So right now you're saying sponge iron producers at current cost are not making money?
They are making about 2,000 rupees a ton. 2,000 to 2,500 rupees a ton. That is what the range is.
And but
because the sponge iron prices have gone down. Prior to that, I think their margins was much higher than that. Pellet prices have gone down, recently by about 1,500 rupees a ton. And of course, before that, pellet, you know, the sponge iron manufacturers were not making the money because the most of the pellet was getting exported. So that is also true.
But let's say if the
iron ore... the coal prices were very low. You know, the dynamics has changed in the current financial year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But let's say if the duty is lifted on iron ore and pellet, the iron ore prices go up, coal is where it is. Basically, the entire rebar prices in India will go up if the duty on a sponge iron on iron ore is lifted, right?
Rebuy prices have fluctuated almost, you know, at about 5,000 rupees a ton. This is what is our understanding of the market is. It went up to about 55,000 rupees a ton, maybe 60,000 rupees a ton for a small period of time, but otherwise on an average 55,000 rupees a ton, and currently it is in the range of 50,000 rupees.
And so on the demand, specifically after the export duty and stuff, where have you seen demand in the last 1 or 2 months? I think the expectation is given that maybe after monsoons, you see recovery. But during monsoon, is it typically like in any normal monsoon season, you're seeing that kind of seasonal slowdown, or is it more acute than that?
It is more of a seasonal slowdown. And we are still making 65 AP pellet, which nobody else makes in India. And therefore, we are able to sell our product because our dependency on the local market is very low. Because high grade pellet, we are selling it to the large manufacturers. So there, 100,000 tons, if you are booking a, order, 2 months of production is there. So about 600,000 tons, if I'm able to sell it in the domestic market to the large steel manufacturers, then to that extent also we are able to, reduce the pressure on domestic market.
Okay.
Which we, if the export duty is removed, that which we ultimately wants to export. But then the European market and other markets should also improve by the time. So this is a scenario wherein you have to depend on the domestic market only, whether the export duty is removed or export duty is not removed. Because Europe will take time to come out, unless US, Russia, Ukraine, Russia war goes and the energy prices come to the normal. The steel production is also going down in the European market. So it will be very difficult to sell there as well. Or else you make commercial grade of iron ore pellet and sell in Chinese market. There also, there is a pressure.
But you made representation to the government
through the association.
And the expectation is that something may be announced soon.
May be announced, yes.
So coming specifically to Godavari, sir, I think I'll start with what was interesting was the WHRS. What's your power requirement and how much is being met by WHRS right now?
42 megawatt. Well, if you talk about the effective generation, say about 30 megawatt.
And how much is that?
WHRS does not run at 100% capacity. It runs at about 65-70% utilization.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how much of your total power requirement is being met by WHRS?
As I said, 30 megawatt through WHRS, about 18 megawatt through the biomass, 20 megawatt effectively say about 18 megawatt through the coal-based power, Jagdamba, and balance through the grid, which is now partially replaced through the solar power.
So about 30% of your power would be made by WHRS?
Yes.
Yeah, and that is the waste heat from
coal which we are charging in the sponge iron plant.
Oh, from that. Okay.
Yeah.
And so coming to the balance sheet of the company, obviously reduced. It's a net cash balance sheet, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I forgot to mention in the opening remark, we had piled up a debt close to about 2,200 crore by, say, March 2017. And of course, we had, defaulted, during the period from June 2016 to March 2017 for a period of about 8 to 9 months. But that was primarily because of two reasons. One, the iron steel and the iron ore market had gone down substantially. Your HRC was selling hardly about $350. Pellet was selling at about 4,000 rupees a ton in domestic market. And iron ore was selling at about 1,500 or odd rupees. And during that period, we had done a lot of capex in 2013 to 15 period, including the expansion project on the pelletization side, as well as 50 megawatt of solar thermal power project, investing 800 crore, which we recently divested. So that took our debt to 2,200 crore, and that coincided, of course, with the lower market demand and the lower pricing. And our mining had not started to the extent we wanted. We were at that time producing about hardly about 600,000 tons of iron ore from the captive mines. But from April 2017 onwards, we got the additional approval from the Ministry of Mines. And after that, our production in the mines is, you know, increased to about 1.2 million ton, then 1.5, 1.8. And now we are going, say, up to about 2.5 to 2.7 million ton in the current year. So definitely, you know, that period was very bad for us for a period of about 1 year. And that, you know, led us to the request, led us to restructure our debt without any single rupee sacrifice, either on interest or on the principal amount. It was the elongation of the tenure which we had sought from the lenders, you know, for a period from 5 years to 14 years. And of course, when the market conditions improved, subsequently in plus the next 3 years, we liquidated the entire long-term debt and made the balance sheet debt-free from the long-term debt. We continue to enjoy some working capital facilities, fund-based about 200 crore owed at a group level, and non-fund-based facility of close to about 500 crores. But we do not have any long-term debt as on the date on our balance sheet.
And the promoter pledges
Promoter pledge is also released with the, you know, we had given some pledge to the lenders at the time of restructuring. The scheme was approved by them, and some shares were, you know, initially when the project loan was sanctioned, that time some shares were given to them. The pledge is 100% released now.
And so then given the balance sheet, now you have a dividend also, and given you're seeing some difficult markets in the near term, is there a threat to dividend for this year?
No, see, dividend will continue to be driven by the dividend policy which we have announced. We aim to distribute 10 to 15% of our profits to the shareholders, and rest will be redeployed into the business. We do aim to set up a new integrated steel plant, initially starting with iron ore pelletization and pig iron plant, and subsequently the value addition side. But for that, we are awaiting the land acquisition and environmental approval. Once that is done, then we will freeze on our project and the investment size.
So I'll come to that in a bit. Just on the earlier expansion plan was having HR and CR, I think, and then you change the plan. Maybe can you talk about that background for that?
No, background was, you know, the anticipation internally between technical team and our promoter was there that we will be able to commission the, you know, about a million ton steel plant within a cost of about 3,000 crore, some odd amount. But when they did the detailed working on that, they realized that it is not possible to set up the kind of facilities which we are thinking of setting up with the, you know, HR and CR. And therefore, you know, that idea was dropped because the cost was working out to be much higher than more than about 5,000 crores owed about for a million ton plant. So the idea now is to start initially by utilizing the raw material from your captive mines, because our mines reserves are now established to the extent of 165 million ton. So we gradually aim to increase our mining capacity from 3 million ton currently to 5 million ton, and subsequently from 5 to 8, 7 and to 9 million ton, and use the iron ore for converting into the pellet and pig iron, and sell the raw material into the market rather than, and maybe go up to the steel billet at a, you know, particular level. But then those projects will be set up in the phased manner, keeping the investment at a time not more than, you know, say about 2,000 crores, wherein you are able to keep your balance sheet and fund the majority of debt requirement through the internal accruals only.
So 2,000, you mentioned the cost of the entire project or annual capex?
No. To entire project, you know, without the value addition side, pelletization, pig iron, and maybe some other facilities.
Okay. And the 5,000 crore capex you were saying for 1 million ton plant, that was a greenfield integrated steel plant?
Greenfield integrated steel plant, yes.
And this was a new location you were looking at? Or
a new location we are looking at. We have already applied for the land acquisition and awaiting the approval from the state government.
And this is, what would be the configuration of this that you're looking at?
No, initially, as I said, we will be looking with the pelletization and the pig iron plant. Rather than value addition, we will go gradually.
So right now, this is only till a big
bigger,
RFQ.
Up to bigger. That is what our thought process is. But we will announce in due course once the land acquisition and environmental approval is received. Then we will make a suitable formal announcement. What is the size of investment? What is the size of the project as well?
Okay. And right now, you've not disclosed even the location, which state or stuff.
The location is in Chhattisgarh. It will be in the radius of about 50 kilometers from Raipur, where our existing plant location is there. So our aim is to make it happen in only in Chhattisgarh, not outside Chhattisgarh, where we have our raw material.
Okay. And I'm guessing till the export duty is lifted, you won't look at that plant till there's more clarity on the export duty.
I think export duty might get lifted earlier because the way domestic market conditions are there. And we will still take about, couple of months before the announcement is done. Because the environmental approval and land acquisition will take time.
Okay.
So at least not in this financial year.
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe if we make an announcement later part of this financial year.
Okay. And you're saying this would be, you're targeting all the cash for that to be made from internal accruals only. You not look at raising
Majority of it. We may have to take some source, some facilities, but negligible looking at the size of the balance sheet.
So you're looking at being a net, almost net, no debt balance sheet for a long period of time?
Yeah. We don't want to. We have reached to this size, taking the debt, then burnt our fingers also in between. So the aim is to, now gradually build it up through the internal accruals.
And the iron ore reserves that you talked about, when do these reserves lease expire? Is it 2030 or?
I think first mine was started in 2010. So from 2010, it is 50 years. So 2060 and we are in 22. Another 38 for Ari Dongri. And 3 years later for Boria Tibu. So close to about, 40 years approximately.
Okay. Uh-huh. And the reserve size that you've been able to extend to 165 is largely through converting resources into reserves and exploration?
Yeah, through the exploration.
Well, stop for a bit to see if anybody in the audience has any questions.
But let me clarify one point. These iron ore mines were allocated under the captive route. So it's not a merchant mine. And we are not supposed to make the payment of any premium on the royalty. The royalty is applicable. Royalty is paid. There is no premium which is applicable for the auctioned mine. So these were under the allocation route.
Yes, sir. I understood.
Yeah.
Jashandeep, in the meantime, Jashandeep has a question. Jashandeep, go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hi. Is anybody from the audience?
Just
sir, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead. No, I don't think.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sorry. So the company has stated that it wants to become carbon neutral. However, no roadmap or timeline has been provided. So if you can shed some light on the possible timeline and possible capex required to become carbon neutral, that would be great.
See, we are currently working on that strategy, and hopefully, by the con call for December, we should be able to give a roadmap on that. Our work in progress is there. We want to become the carbon neutral in steel. That is right. We have said that. And the roadmap is under work in progress currently. Hopefully by December or March quarter numbers, FY23, we will be able to give a complete chart on that.
Okay, sir. And sir, one more question. So we are setting up, solar plants as well. And you mentioned a part of the dependence on grid will be replaced by solar plant. So what type of cost saving are we, projecting in our future cash flows?
See, if you see the current cost of coal, even the linkages coal and the coal through the e-auction, because you don't get the 100% of the linkages. And if you are producing the coal-based power in a smaller project, in a come, say maybe 10, 15, 20 megawatt capacity, turbines, your cost is not less than 4 to 4.5 rupees per unit. That is the minimum, bare minimum cost. But if you are setting up a solar project, your cost, goes down to about on a variable side, hardly about 25 to 30 basis point. The only requirement is large land area. And for your information, we have a large land area available with the company, fully paid for it, close to about 1,000 acre in Raigarh district, which we had originally acquired for setting up a coal-based power plant. But that is confined to the history. And we want to utilize that land for setting up solar projects going forward, even for our expansion project. And the current projects which we are setting up, we have recently acquired the land for that.
So, sir, if I'm able to understand correctly, the variable cost goes down by 25 to 30 basis point if we are
Yeah.
not putting in a large area. However, now you're saying the 100 acre area land will be used for solar power. So what
Yeah.
incremental saving can we expect?
Sorry, sorry.
So
See,
above this particular thing.
whatever capacity I'm setting up currently, if I've understood your question right, will give me close to about 180 crores at EBITDA on an investment of 650 crores. For next phase, when we go for next phase of our steel plant, that time we'll decide for the future, solar project expansion. Whatever I'm doing currently, I'm just replacing whatever I was sold, 50 megawatt solar thermal. I'm putting the same amount of money for setting up captive solar power, wherein I'm increasing my EBITDA from 100 crore to 180 crores.
Understood.
So we got about 650 crore by divesting our IPP 50 megawatt, in which we were selling the power to the NTPC. We are now, we'll be utilizing the same power for our increased requirement in the steel plant. And partially, we are already buying from the grid, and grid rate is 6.5 rupees per unit.
Excellent. And sir, any timeline on the consolidation of Jagdamba Power and Alloy?
Jagdamba is already completed. We have acquired that power plant. That will be the only coal-based, power capacity going forward with us. 20 megawatt Jagdamba, and about 20 megawatt we have in our ferroalloys business, Hira Ferroalloys. Other than that, most of the power will be through the renewable sources.
Okay, sir. And just talking about the leverage, you have stated to Satyadeep as well that you want to be a net cash or maintain your leverage, right? So
Yeah.
any target leverage ratio, debt equity ratio that the company is targeting internally, if you can provide us detail on that.
See, frankly, we have not taken a formal decision on this, but our aim is on a debt to equity side of not more than 0.5%. Or if you talk about the debt to EBITDA, it should not increase more than one time.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Maybe just I'll give the participants also see if anybody has any questions. If anybody has questions, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat box. I want to ask about the iron ore capacity increase that you have talked about, to 5 million ton and potentially to 9 million tons over time. Is that Have you already applied for ECFC approval for that?
No, we are preparing for it.
Okay.
We are preparing from C2 because we got 2.3 million ton approval recently for Ari Dongri expansion. Now we want to file for Ari Dongri expansion as well as Boriatibu expansion, and for which the whatever initial mining plan and other reports are required to be submitted, that is being prepared, and then it should be submitted within this financial year.
And what
You
is
know, our
the
aim will be to increase the capacity of iron ore mining coinciding with our next phase of steel expansion, where our raw material requirement will increase. Currently, we are self-sufficient now.
So you sell iron ore in the merchant market, right?
No, we don't sell. We are allowed 25%, but we don't sell it. And we don't aim to sell it.
Okay. Entire 100% is...
100% will be for captive requirement.
What is the... You said that you produce 65% pellet, right? So iron ore grade is very high from the mines.
For iron ore grade is 62, but initially you can say average 60. Okay. We are required to beneficiate it. Okay. Initially, because you are, you know, whatever expansion we recently we have got the approval, there's a lot of overburden which needs to be removed. So the grade initially is lower, and as you go deeper, the grade will increase.
And I'm not sure if you can discuss, maybe just ballpark, what is the cost of beneficiation, typically operating cost?
Cost of beneficiation, other than the cost of mining, will not be more than 300 to 400 rupees a ton, besides the capital cost.
Okay. And you said you are one of the few players who sell 65% grade pellet in Lima.
Yes, yes, yes. 65% with low alumina.
Okay.
There is no iron ore available in domestic market, as far as our information goes, with a low alumina. Alumina less than 1%. Normally, the iron ore has 3% alumina.
Yes, sir. How much South African coal do you need on an annual basis for your operation?
On an annual basis, say on 500,000 tons capacity, close to about 400,000 tons. 0.8 is the consumption.
0.8. You've not seen any availability challenge as such for South African coal?
Till August, we had tied up with, we were not buying the South African coal off late. For last 6-9 months, we had been buying the same quality of coal from one Australian mine, with whom we had tied it up for about 6 months of our requirement. 100% of their mining used to come to us. So last consignment will come, I think, in this month.
The last consignment, sir.
Yeah, in this month.
So that you this thinking.
Yeah, and that was linked to certain exchange rate with some discount, because we had given them some advance money to them.
Awesome. You think this is sustainably you can replace South African coal with Australian coal, or?
That we are in discussion with the same mine owner. Once the agreement takes place or the formalization takes place, then only I'll be able to tell you on that.
But productivity wise, there's no
productivity wise, there's no problem, and it is cheaper than the South African coal.
And ash and all is not an issue.
No.
And what about Russian coal? Is it possible to replace Russian or South African?
We have been targeting that as well. But no commercial agreement has taken place as yet.
Well, I'm guessing because the prices are at a discount there.
Yeah, prices are. So we are targeting it, but no commercial agreement has so far taken place.
Because we were under the impression that it is difficult to replace South African coal because of quality for sponge iron. But you're saying...
No, there are select mines which can supply you this kind of coal, which is South African coal. And in Australia, we got hold on one mine. And they had some debt. They wanted some money in advance. So we had paid them some money and had purchased the coal on a discounted rate linked to the exchange price, certain discount on that.
Okay. I'm guessing there's a mine there. I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of competition for that mine.
Yeah.
But, I think we doesn't look like we have any more questions. But I'll thank you, sir, for coming in. Discussing the story of Godavari Power and Ispat. Thank you for your valuable time and your insights, and thank you for all the participants also for joining in. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Satyadeep. It is my pleasure always. Whenever there is such opportunity, we will be happy to participate. There is no problem. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.